Yo.
What?
Hey guys, welcome back to the Normal for the Spider podcast.
This week's episode is possession, apparently.
LOL. This week's episode features me, your ghost with the most, Mal, and my fiance Britt, who is a recurring guest, I suppose.
I'm a nightmare to edit, but I'm worth it for the content.
We love a self-aware queen. This week, we are very excited to talk to you all about our paranormal experiences. We've both had quite a few, some very exciting ones to say the least. We've both been to some spooky destinations here in the States. I would love to start off by asking you, Britt, where do your beliefs about the paranormal lie? Like, before you ever experienced anything, what were the thoughts you had about it? Did you always think ghosts were real?
Yes, I always grew up believing ghosts were real. Grew up with my mom telling me stories about when she was a kid living in the house that my grandparents still live in and like seeing ghosts like when her best friend slept over. And I always believed in it, especially with like the ideas of heaven and hell and purgatory. Like I grew up in Catholic classes. So like the idea that like people go to purgatory, it was like, well, yeah, then it makes perfect sense that ghosts exist. So I guess that's kind of where my brain still kind of lays, even though I don't really believe in heaven and hell anymore or like anything like that. I just kind of believe that there's an afterlife where our spirits go, like you cross over and it's kind of unknown after that, but we still exist.
Definitely. Do you believe in demons?
I don't think I do.
Exorcisms?
Yes, which I guess is kind of weird if I don't believe in demons.
But you believe that a negative energy can take someone over and need to be removed. That I think that makes sense without believing in demons.
Yeah, and I guess I don't even necessarily believe that an exorcism has to be over a person. I definitely believe that it can exist in like a home and it needs to be exorcised from a home for sure. But I also don't believe that it has to be like a Catholic or a Christian priest that performs an exorcism.
Like you're seeing it more as a banishing. So true, bestie. Do you believe in past lives, reincarnation?
I like have always said that yes, like jokingly, like in passing, like kind of half joking. Like I don't really know. I would love to believe that it's true, but as a Virgo who needs reassurance and hard proof to believe in anything, that is something that's very hard to believe in, like reincarnation and whatnot, because I just have never come across anything that really cements the proof.
Yeah, I echo a lot of those same beliefs you just shared. In relation to the last thing I just asked you about reincarnation, I used to watch this show called The Ghost Inside My Child, and it featured like families that swore their kids were like reincarnated people. And it was like, they would just say things about like being a pirate on a ship or something like that. And I remember being so enamored by it when I saw it when I was like 11. Like, it was one of those like TLC type of shows. And I had grown up Catholic as well. So it was really the first time that it had occurred to me in such a like essentially liberal spiritual sense that that could be true. There is no like proof of it, but there have definitely been some unexplained things in my life where I'm like, okay, the thing that would make the most sense is a past life to explain this. Like, for example, I was terrified of knives when I was a little kid. I'm talking like we were having dinner and someone took out a knife to like cut up a chicken cutlet. I had to leave the room. I couldn't like stand the sight of like a knife blade. So I'm like, did I get fucking shanked in a past life? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, something like that.
I think that it's entirely possible, especially like, I don't know, when kids are just like really gifted at music, for example. Like,
Where did that come from?
right, like obviously, like you can kind of be born with like a. I don't know. I feel like, yes, it makes sense that you could be born like that, but also, like, I don't know. I do like to believe that there's otherworldly explanations that I don't necessarily have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be able to just say, yeah, that's the universe sometimes.
Right.
And I feel like spirits and past lives and reincarnation and demons and all that stuff, like, that's just one of those things that I kind of like not having complete answers to, no matter how scary it is.
I love that idea. Like, accepting the fact that there are some things we're not meant to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it works. I like that. It's, like, radically accepting.
Yeah.
And not trying to, like, harp on it too bad.
And it's not because I don't have the energy, nor do I not want to know, but it just doesn't feel like it's something, like, there's just so many things in life to focus on. It's like, why focus on what happens when there is no life? You're gonna find out one way or another. So,
true.
Not true. To be like stoner thoughts, but ghosts have obviously been, quote-unquote ghosts, for lack of a better term, but ghosts have been around since the beginning of time, using that logic. So if they're okay, I ain't gonna bug them.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you essentially feel the same way about spirit communication, like in the ghost hunting sense with EVPs, or even like mediums channeling, claiming that they can hear and see and feel things from our ancestors. Or I'm a tarot reader, and something I've done for you as recently as yesterday is tarot for passed on loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel the merit in all that is? What's your take on that?
I don't know to what extent I fully believe it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I believe that people can get crystal clear messages from spirits to pass on to other people? Like, no. But do I think it's possible for people to receive, like, some kind of message from a spirit that's, like, meant for somebody, like, as a medium? Like, sure.
Yeah. For me, I was very skeptical of the mediumship thing, and I'm just weird with death. Like, who isn't, right? But, like, I want to, like, accept and move on when someone close to me dies. And sometimes I don't. It just doesn't feel right to go harp on it and try to do readings on it.
Mm.
I can't ever bring them back, so I don't want to dwell. So I was skeptical of it and just like, I don't know if it's a good idea. But when I went to a medium for the first time, I was like, oh, okay. She said some shit that really she would have no other way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, it could be a lucky guess. Okay, but what are the chances of that happening with every client? And if it was just guesses that were failing over and over again as this woman gets business, like, people would call her out. She would get a bad reputation.
Right.
Especially, I was growing up in New Paltz, New York, which is a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to believe it because I had that personal proof. And I've even had some mediumship readings come up for me on TikTok, honestly, where, oh my God, there was one the other night. I almost woke you up, but you were sleeping peacefully next to me. I swear it was about my grandfather.
So, like, here's the thing about where it gets tricky. Like, things like father-like figure and driving, those are two very broad things that kind of go hand in hand, right?
People, sure.
People could argue that. But then you add in, like, the bluebird thing. Shortly after your grandfather passed away, you saw this bluebird sitting on the edge of our hammock. So then, like, you add in that factor. Like, that's a very random thing. And sure, that could apply to a lot of other people. But it's like, this is the thing. How many other people could it apply to where it would, like, be worth it to be lying about it?
And then the fact that the TikTok algorithm, like, pushed it to you, right, out of all people. Even if it was you and a million other people, that's only a million in a world with
billions.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets tricky, and I don't really know what's to believe. I'm not mad about it, but it's tricky.
I agree. Maybe this is kind of a jump, but the next question I'm thinking of asking you is, like, growing up, was there a conversation in your family about spirit protection, or did they ever talk about what to look out for or instill in you that you should look out for signs from relatives that had passed on, maybe that you hadn't even met?
I can't really think of anything in particular except for when my aunt passed away. And at this point, I was in college. And when she passed away, my mom would, like, make the connection of a cardinal with her. And I think that's a pretty, like, common connection with spirits is cardinals.
Yeah.
The birds. That's really the only thing I can ever remember them saying. Like, oh, like, so-and-so is watching over you. Like, mm-hmm. I was a kid when my great-grandmother passed away. You know, parents say the typical thing, like, she's with God now. She's in a better place. She's watching over you.
Sure.
But, like, nothing in particular, no.
Okay, so sticking with the theme of childhood, where do you start experiencing the paranormal? When, where, how? Do you remember how young you were?
The very first thing I can remember for sure, 100% absolutely happened. Couldn't pretend it did not happen if I tried. I think I was like 13 or 14. I was going from 8th grade to 9th grade, and that summer, my family was moving, and we were building a house on a property. And so while we were like clearing the land and building the house and everything, my brother and my parents and I lived at my grandparents' house in this small farm town, and their house was built in the 1800s, and a lot of the original house like remained, like the chimney, the basement. I don't know the full lore, but like I said earlier, I grew up with stories from my grandmother and my mom, who both had like multiple stories of things happening. So like I was aware that that house was haunted, and like you could feel the presence of the spirits when you walk in that house. Like I did not like being alone in that house in the dark, really any time of day, but especially at night. So I'm about 14 years old. I'm doing my homework in the kitchen. It's like it's a school night. The bathroom door is like in the kitchen. So my grandmother and my parents are out in the living room watching TV. My brother is in the bathroom showering, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table doing homework. And my brother is like, I don't know, 7 or 8 at the time. So he's in the shower. He's got like a radio going and he's singing along with it. He's having himself a grand old time. And the door of the bathroom, it was a door latch, and it had a very distinct sound when you like would open and close it.
It's like a ching ching almost.
Right. Like you can hear it lift up. Mm-hmm. Like the and creaking drop of it. Right. Yeah. Think about again in a barn when like the doors rattle, like to the stall doors. Like that's what it sounds like. I'm sitting at the table and I hear that sound very rapidly, like somebody's shaking the door. So naturally I think, oh, my brother is like messing around in there. He's still in the shower. He can't reach the door from the shower. And I said to him, I said, hey, bro, did you, like, jiggle the door? I thought I heard somebody, like, messing with the latch.
That's so spooky.
He goes, no, it wasn't me. And, like, I felt crazy. Because, like I said, it was such a distinct sound. Like, I knew exactly what it was. But I didn't see it moving. And my brother said he didn't touch it. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm crazy. So I go out in the living room and I tell my family about it. And my grandmother, like, brushes it off. And she was like, oh, you know, there's the heating vent in there. It was probably just the vent blowing air and it was making the door rattle. Where the vent was like the opposite end of the bathroom, so that's not even a little bit possible. But I was like, well, nobody else heard it, nobody else saw it, so it is what it is. So then I don't know if it was maybe a couple weeks, couple months later, I had told everybody in my family about this. We were all out in the kitchen around the table having dinner. I don't know, we were hanging out in the kitchen. So it was me, my grandparents, and my parents. Again, my brother was in the shower. Music going again on the radio. He's singing along. But this time, everybody hears that same sound that I heard. We all look over to the door. It's not moving. Now, my dad, he does not believe in ghosts. He does not believe in spirits. He's very Catholic, believes heaven and hell. But he does not believe in ghosts. And he sees the same thing that I saw. My brother's in the shower. He swears up and down he didn't touch the latch. So after that, my dad was like, we need to get the hell out of this house. Mm-hmm. The man that had never believed in ghosts till that day. Because he couldn't explain it. Mm-hmm. Just like I couldn't. So it was nice that they finally believed me. Mm-hmm. But that was my very first experience where, like, something happened to me that I could not explain. That I was positive happened to me.
Yeah, you were 14?
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I felt very, like, I would just have intuitive messages pop up into my head. And I would experience that when I, like, went up to different people's graves and stuff. So I kind of, like, knew that there was, like, something there. But then the first big thing that happened to me, I'm 14. It was 3 days straight of increasingly intense paranormal events that both my friend Autumn and I were experiencing. The first day, her door swung open and no one was home except for us. You know, the wind doesn't usually blow a door open rather than closed. Then the day right after that, I was in my grandma's bathroom and she has a closet in that bathroom. And I so distinctly heard, like, hands clapping behind the closet door. And obviously no one was in the closet. And actually my cousin or my grandma or grandpa weren't even upstairs on that level of the house with me. That freaked me the fuck out. And, like, it was right when The Conjuring had, like, come out and that clap thing was in it. More on The Conjuring shortly. So obviously I had seen the movie and been scared by that scene. But then I, like, heard it. So, like, the thought that something could have been mocking, like, what I was afraid of already and fucking with me was really scary. And then on the third day, Autumn, me, and her mom all saw the same, like, apparition, like, face in a window looking into my garage.
Whoa.
Like, it was just 3 days in a row, three different locations, like, technically three different groups of people, because it was me and Autumn, me alone, and then me, Autumn, and her mom.
Mm.
I had just started practicing witchcraft at that time as well, and I was just like, okay, let's do some readings on what this could be about, you know, which, like, I don't remember being very conclusive or anything, but we just kind of got the general message of it's gonna be okay, and, like, that was kind of enough for us at that point. And we had cleansed ourselves, our houses, and actually went to, like, my church that I had belonged to as a kid and got holy water and blessed ourselves. And it did stop after that. So that, like, you know, intentional cleansing ritual worked, per se. But that was a really interesting, really strange, really inexplicable thing that happened to me.
I've never heard that story from you, so I'm like, holy shit.
Wait, you haven't?
Yeah. That's really scary.
I don't really like to talk about it.
Mm.
So I didn't, that was something I didn't share with you because I don't like to think about it because it doesn't make sense to me and that's really scary.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, no rhyme or reason.
Right.
A little mind-numbing and mind-boggling because how do you explain it?
Right.
It affected other people the same ways, so I know I wasn't the only one seeing shit or hearing shit or whatever.
But that's why I don't think I ever seek to know more about spirits. Like, when I was a kid, because I grew up listening to my mom's stories about ghosts, like, I used to watch, like, Ghost Hunters. Like, you say you watch Ghost Adventures. I don't like Zach Bacon. Sorry. Hope he doesn't hear this.
I, like, don't either, but I, like, love to hate him, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I liked Ghost Hunters because it seemed a lot more, like, real, like, footage, like, real documentation, like, real people wanting real answers, whereas Ghost Adventures, it ain't that.
Stop reading my man defaults. Ghost Adventures is so cunty. I don't care. I'm there for the visuals. I'm there for the theatrics. I don't give a fuck.
Speak your truth, girl.
Okay, so moving on. I know you had a very significant time at what is known as the Conjuring House.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about exactly what that house is and how you ended up going there.
The house that I went to is in Rhode Island, which anybody can go to. You can just book a tour, which is how I ended up going. So the movie The Conjuring is based on a family that lived in this house, the Perrin family, which, funnily enough, a relative of this family was my mom's former boss at her job at a school, which is the school I also now work at.
Oh, yeah.
Small world.
That was crazy.
But it's based off this family who say they had these paranormal happenings here. Yeah, and so this house was, like, investigated by Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were
paranormal investigators and demonologists.
Thank you, yeah. And that's kind of, like, the premise of the movie is it's following, like, Ed and Lorraine as they investigate this house. The mother of this family of, like, five or six girls is possessed by a demon that they call, I think, Bathsheba. But I didn't really know that going into it. I really didn't know much. I tried to find out some on the website because, like, I was a little scared to go there. Because, like, obviously it's a movie, but, like, it was a very real story that it was based off of. So what happened was my mom and my cousins and a couple other people that were going on the trip with us were all coming from upstate New York. I met them at the Conjuring House in my own car. But it took me hours of driving by myself after a full day of work. When you get into the town, I think it's called like Burrillville or something. It is so eerie. And I went, it was about this time of year. It was like end of March. And everything just felt so barren. It felt so unwelcoming. Like, I've never experienced that in a town before. So that's a fun little setting. So then the owners gave us like a tour at the house. I refused to sleep in the house though. Not even trying to be like a dramatic little bitch. Like, vibes were just off. Like, the same way that they were when I pulled into town. Like, vibes are just off in the house. Mm. Same way that I was saying, like, I believe that certain houses just have that bad negative energy. Like, this was by far the worst one that I've ever, ever, ever felt. I'm pretty sure that, like, the Civil War happened on that property or something. And there was, like, soldiers buried there or something.
The entire Civil War happened on that very property.
My proof of paranormal activity at this house are pictures. Mel will have to either link my Instagram or post these to like a highlight reel or something on her Instagram, because like these blue orbs in the corners of a lot of pictures that I took. So there's one picture where I was standing in what they called the dining room, and it was pitch black in there, and I was looking towards the living room where there was a fireplace and a couch, and my mom was sitting on the couch. It was fully lit up in that room, and the room I was in was dark. There's these like blue orbs floating towards the bottom of the couch.
Oh no.
So yeah, I guess you could argue a lens flare. Sure, I'll give you that one.
That looks different than anything I've ever seen.
That's what I always say, but I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. So then you go to the next picture, and I'm no longer standing behind the couch. I'm standing like in line with the couch, still facing towards the fireplace though. Again, in the bottom right corner, there's this blue orb. I don't think it looks like a lens flare by any means, but you could argue that.
But it's still this opaque, like, ball of little energy.
Right, and it's, like, bright blue. Seriously, guys, like, go look at the picture. And in the final picture, I'm now standing in front of the couch. The camera is now facing the back room that I was just in that was completely dark. And I'm looking at the front of the couch. And those blue orbs are under the couch that I'm standing in front of. Where in the first picture that I took, they were behind the couch.
Mm-hmm. So are these photos why you didn't feel comfortable staying there on top of the intuitive bad feeling?
Well, I didn't even notice the blue orbs in the pictures while we were staying there. But to go along with the blue orb talk a little bit more, after the trip was done and what made me start to connect the blue orbs, one of my cousins that I went with sent a picture in our group chat, and one of the guys in the picture, the orbs are all over this one guy whose name escapes me again because this was the first and only time I've ever talked to him / met him.
Oh my god.
But the same orbs that were just circling the couch in the next room over are all over this guy in a totally different room. Like, they're covering his chest.
And they're all the same size and color and, like, opacity.
Yeah.
In every picture.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Britt, that's really weird. I've never seen such convincing orbs before.
So we compared, like, so an iPhone, Samsung's, and a Canon camera. Every single one of us had at least one picture with the same blue orbs, all in different locations in the house. So that just goes to show you, it wasn't just one person's camera malfunctioning or, like, one bad angle or something. Like, no, this is some kind of spirit happening here. One of the more creepy things that happened to me while we were in the Conjuring House. You go up this really narrow staircase on one end of the house, and you're in, like, the main bedroom. And then to get to another bedroom, you have to go through the middle bedroom, which is where, like, the girls that experienced most of the activity from the original story of, like, the movie and everything. That middle bedroom is where they, like, experienced a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
once you go through the middle bedroom, there's a room on the end. But that room on the end was used as like a school room. There's a lot of lore to this house. I really implore you, dear listeners, to go and do some research about this house, because besides its paranormal activity, it's just, it's lived such a life, many families living there. But anyway, so we were sitting in the middle bedroom. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and we've been here since about 6 p.m. and it's not like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I lay down on one of the beds and all the lights are on. We're all just kind of sitting, like asking questions, listening. And I feel what feels like somebody putting their hand on my chest and just start pushing down on it. To the point where I, like, couldn't breathe, so I sat up. And, like, everybody was sitting around me, like, nobody was, like, nobody even noticed that, like, I was on the verge of, like, flipping out because I couldn't breathe. One of the other big things that we did during our investigation was a spirit box. So it's just this device that picks up, like, frequencies.
Yeah.
And so we would have one person wear noise-canceling headphones, and they were hearing the frequencies, and then everybody else that wasn't wearing the headphones, we would ask questions, and then the person wearing the headphones, if they heard something through the frequency, would, like, just say what they heard, and we would write it down. And a lot of stuff that they, like, the people would say wearing the headphones really did correlate to our questions. So the first question we asked, is there anybody in the room? And the person wearing the headphones heard, "Here I am." Then we asked, "What are you?" Person wearing the headphones said, "Human." So, like, just very interesting. Oh my god, I remember when I tried to wear the headphones, nothing. Like, no messages came across. Which I do think is very interesting, because in all the time that I lived at my grandparents' house, I really never experienced anything. And, like, a couple years ago, Mel and I and a bunch of my family took a girls trip to Lake George, and we went to Fort William Henry and did, like, a tour there. And that's a very haunted place. We didn't experience anything there. It's just, like, I don't experience paranormal things very often, which is very disappointing. But maybe that's for the better.
Right.
But I also refused to sleep in that house. Like I said, like, I think about 4:30 rolled around. We were like, all right, peace out. I did not want to sleep in that house. Like, I know nothing would have happened, but I also know I would not have had a peaceful sleep. Even with all the lights on, like, if we all slept in the same room, like, it just was not a good feeling. I don't know how anybody could live there.
Wow. Interesting.
Highly recommend going, though. It was pretty pricey. Try and go with a group of friends if you are going to go, but definitely a must-do if you love paranormal experiences and the movie The Conjuring.
It's funny you mentioned Fort William Henry, because this is a simple story, but I had been there in 2020, and I did have a paranormal experience in, like, the north part of the building. I felt like someone pushed me. I was standing, and I was kind of, like, leaning on one foot, you know, being casual, listening to the tour guide, and I felt, like, someone's hand on my shoulder and just give me a little nudge that threw me off balance. And I was like, huh, cool. I completely cleansed myself immediately after. And I've also had a paranormal experience in Salem that was really significant that I wanted to share. Also in 2020 in Salem, Massachusetts, I was in the Hawthorne Hotel, which is a location with lots of rich ghostly history. And my friend Lauren and I were honestly, like, ghost hunting, like, going to seek them out and, like, intuitively connect. And we went down to the library, where neither of us had ever been before. And it was a very heavy, intense energy. Something transformed as soon as I, like, went in the door. And I was, like, all turned around. And, like, I just, like, it felt like I was someplace else, or, like, potentially in a different time. And then we finally found a comfortable seat. We're just chilling. And we were kind of, like, asking spirits to, like, say something to us, and a book flew off of a shelf. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Interstellar, when they're pushing the books, like, through the shelf from one plane to the next, that is what it was like. It popped off the shelf and, like, fell towards us. We ran upstairs.
Yeah.
We got in that elevator so quick. Thank you for joining me on this episode to talk about some spooky-ooky things we've been through.
Thanks for listening to me yap.
Professional yappers over here. if you would like bonus content. That's on patreon.com/mellofwands.
Not only do you get bonus Mel content, but you get bonus Brit content too.
We do have some episodes and such up there together. And
that's two for the price of one, and I'm sorry, but you're just not gonna get that anywhere else.
Right. I do have an upcoming tarot class in Salem, Massachusetts. Speaking of our paranormal experiences and where they have happened, I am teaching tarot and the shadow self, an interactive workshop at Modern Magic Academy on April 20th. Tickets are available at modernmagicsalem.com/events. And the rest of my links to keep up with me and Britt's links to keep up with her will be in the show notes.
Stream Bonnie and Clyde.
Britt's debut single, and it's a banger.
But also, go see Mel's class.
Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you next week.
I won't see you next week, but I'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.